Well, good morning, church family. Hope you all are doing well today. It's really good to see you all today, and I really have missed you all as we've been going through the COVID-19 quarantines. But it's just really great to be back with you in the building. And I thought last week was a great way to come back celebrating the graduates who accomplished a lot by graduating high school and are going to go out and accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. And I thought that was a great way to come back together and just worship together once again, which it was great to see you all last week, and I'm glad you're all here this week as well. Oh man, that was a close one. But if you were here before the quarantine, and if you've been watching our online services, you would know that we've been going through the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is one of my favorite books personally. It's a book that talks a lot about what God has done for us and the gifts that he has given us. And now we have moved on to the second section of the book where it talks about how we respond to that gift and how we respond to the gift that God has given us through his son, Jesus. And today we come to Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. And I believe we didn't plan this at all, it just kind of happened. But this is the perfect passage for Youth Sunday. And I'm sure parents are going to love this passage. They're going to be cheering me on all the way because it's just, well, I'll read it here. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and it says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord." Let's pray over that passage today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day where we can just come together and worship you as one body, and even just one body that where some of us are in this building and some of us are still at home watching the live stream currently. But God, I thank you that we can all worship as one body. And God, I pray as we read this passage today and as we go over it, that we will let it form us, that we will let it influence us, and God, that your words will be spoken today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, most parents will tell you after reading this passage, I'm sure they're going to tell you this is one of their favorite passages in the Bible, children obeying their parents. I bet all the parents are cheering me on right now, saying, oh man, this is my favorite passage in the Bible. But parents will tell you children are one of the most difficult obstacles they will ever face. Raising children is a difficult task. I know my mom used to give me crap all the time saying, you realize how difficult it was to raise you three kids all together? And she used to always give me trouble for that. But raising children is difficult. I don't deny it. There will be fights. There's going to be punishment and even sometimes tears. I read an article in our Daily Bread. If you guys have ever never read their articles, they have really good articles in there. And I've really liked it. And he talked about a mother. He said, "I am reminded of the mother who wanted to have the last word but couldn't handle the hassle that resulted whenever she said no to her young son, Billy. After an especially trying day, she finally flung up her hands and shouted, 'All right, Billy, do whatever you want. Now let's see you disobey that command.'" It's not... I love that. I love that. I think that's hilarious. Parents will tell you it is difficult to raise children, but yet many of them will also say it is well worth it. My mom used to give me all kinds of trouble about raising us kids, and she used to make fun of us and say, "Oh man, when you guys graduate high school, I'm going to have the place to ourselves again. It's going to be our house. We're going to have alone time." And she used to just give me all kinds of trouble about that. But then I remember the day she dropped me off in Joplin, Missouri at Ozark Christian College. And I actually remember we went out to dinner the night before she left. And I remember the exact restaurant. It was Chili's, which I love Chili's. Chili's is really good. And I remember sitting in that parking lot. I bet a bunch of people thought we were just weird because we were sitting there in tears, hugging each other as she was dropping me off at college. And I remember my mom and dad looking at me and saying, "We're so proud of you." And I remember, I knew for that moment that despite all the trouble that they gave me, that they knew it was well worth it and that they truly loved and cared about me. And most parents will tell you that raising children is difficult, but that it is well worth it. It is well worth it. Like I said, it is difficult, and Paul is going to address that today in our passage. He's going to address how we can live in a relationship with one another as children and parents and live in a way that is Christ-like, as we have been talking about. As we've been going through the book of Ephesians, we now have moved on to a section where it talks about submitting to one another. It started in chapter 5 where it says submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. And then Doug went on to talk about what that looks like within the marriage. And now we're going to look at what that looks like within the parental relationship with their parents, and what that, and how we can live in a healthy mutual submission with one another as children and parent. Now I'm going to start out with the first verse here, and the first verse says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And I know that a lot of parents are going to love that passage, but this is important. This is crucial, because Jesus was the first one to show us what this looked like, what this truly and how much of an extent this looked like. Yeah, children obeyed their parents before, but Jesus took it to a new step. Jesus was the first submitted to his Father, God. Jesus was on equal grounds with God. He didn't have to submit to God, and yet he willingly submitted to the Father. I love what Philippians 2 has to say about it, and which is also written by Paul, so I believe we have to take into account. And it says this, in your relationships, this is chapter 2, by the way, verses 5 through 8 for anybody who wants to follow. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, I'm not going to talk about the cross a ton today, but I'm sure many of you know the cross was the most painful way to ever die. It was created by the Romans for that purpose, to be the most painful way imaginable to die. And Jesus submitted to his Father, God, so much so that he even went to the cross when God asked it of him. Jesus modeled what this looks like between the parent and the child first. He obeyed his parents. He obeyed his Father, God, even to the point where he was sent to the cross for us. And that just shows the love of Jesus, but also the love that he has for the Father and obedience to him. But yeah, I believe that's huge. I believe Jesus is the greatest example of submission that we can see. And I believe we need to look at that when we look at our relationships with our parents, kids. Also in Romans 13, I know that's a notorious passage for a lot of you, because that's the passage where it talks about we need to submit to our governing authorities. But I believe when we look in the first verse, I believe we have a pretty crucial understanding of what that will, of even something that's important to kids and parents. But it says this, that this is just beginning of chapter 13. It says, "Let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Romans is clear. There is no authority except that which God has established beforehand. And kids, that means your parents were established as your authority beforehand. But yeah, children, you are to obey the authority that God has placed upon your parents to have over you. You are to follow that authority, because that is the authority that God has placed upon you. Now, that being said, we have to also read the part of the passage in verse 1 where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." In the Lord. It's the same thing with governing authorities. With governing authorities, you are to obey governing authorities as long as it is in the Lord and it is not contradicting your following of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to get into specifics with any students, obviously, but many students today in this country have parents who are not Christians. They are Christian, their students are Christians, but yet their parents are not necessarily Christians. And students, even though they are not Christians, yes, you are to still obey them as long as it does not contradict your relationship with God. That is what the passage says. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. And it's the same thing with governing authorities. You obey the governing authorities as long as they are not contradicting your faith in Jesus Christ and contradicting your following of him. But children, you are to do the same with your parents. Obey them as long as it is in the Lord. And I hate to break this to you, but doing your homework and cleaning your room, that's in the Lord. That's not against God or anything. So you guys have to do, you have to follow what your parents say and obey them, especially if they are not contradicting your faith. But we also must obey our parents because it is right. That is what the pastor says. It is, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that is a crucial part of that verse. Because most scholars agree that Paul, by saying this is right, he is not just making it a command, he is making it a morality issue. He's saying this is the right thing to do. It has now become a morality issue, which means it is by the very nature of things, which means it is not going to change with the ages or times. It's not going to change based on who you are or where you're at. It is a morality issue. It is something that you must do because it is the moral thing to do. It is the right thing to do. So obeying your parents is the right thing to do, and you must follow that. It is a morality issue, as Paul is putting it. Now, the next section of the verse is going to talk about honoring your father and mother, which goes hand in hand with obeying your parents. I believe it's pretty crucial that we look at honor your father and mother as it's referencing the Ten Commandments. He's referencing the Ten Commandments where it says honor your father and mother for the promise. And it's Paul even says it's the first commandment that comes with a promise. And he's saying this is important. He's saying this is the first commandment we must follow even before obeying our parents, which if you're honoring your father and mother, you're going to obey your parents. But you are to honor your father and mother even if they are not, even if they treat you like they don't deserve your honor. I know it's pretty easy to say that. I know it's crazy to say that treat your parents with honor even though they don't earn it. But yet you must do that because that is what God does with us. When we look at the relationship that we have with God, there's so many people in this world that don't deserve his love. They frankly just don't deserve the love that God has for them, and yet he says, that's not true. They deserve my love. And he loves them despite all their troubles. And so you are to do the same with your mother and father, even if they don't earn your honor, even if they don't earn your love, even if you have parents who aren't Christians who try to lead you down paths that are not okay, you are to honor them, and you are to respect them, and you are to love them, because God has placed them as an authority over your life. And it's the same thing for even you adults. Continue to honor your father and mother. They were placed as an authority over you by God, and you are to honor them and continue to love them, no matter if they earn it or if they don't earn it. So let us do that. Let us honor our father and mother because God has commanded us to do so, and he has placed them as an authority over our lives. But you are to honor your father and mother in light of the Christian faith. Paul is clearly talking to the Christian home in here and is even reflecting that there is a promise that comes with honoring your father and mother. As I talked about before, Ephesians is a book that talks about all the things that God has done for us and talks about all these different things that he has given us. And yet now we are in the section where we are going to talk about how we respond to that, and this is part of that response. Even in the Ten Commandments, back when it talked about in the Ten Commandments, it said that this is important to do because this is part of God's promise. And he said, if you follow this and do this, you will live long in the land. And a lot of people think this means like a personal thing, that it means that if you personally obey your parents, that you are going to live a long time. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a group of people. And studies show that when you have a society where children obey their parents and honor their parents and love their parents, things are much more prosperous, things are much more happy, and you have a society where things are much greater and things are moving much more fluently. In the Greco-Roman world, children were expected to honor their parents. They were expected to honor their parents. And if their child had become a Christian and ceased to honor their parents after doing so, all they'll be doing is being cast out by their family and causing a bad name for Christians everywhere. And children, you are an example to all believers. Even if you become a Christian and your parents aren't Christian and they don't deserve your honor and love, you should give it to them anyways because you are an example. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity." You are to set an example. You are an example to other believers everywhere. You are an example in how you talk to people. You are an example of how you conduct yourself. You are an example of how you love others, including your parents. You are an example in your faith in Jesus Christ. And you are an example of how pure you are. So show that example. Show what it means to be a follower of Christ and show your love and care to your parents. Because you are not just a kid, you are an example for the body of Christ. So let us do that when we treat our parents with honor. Let us honor our parents because that is the right thing to do and because that is what God commands us to do, because you are an example. Children can be an example for all believers. So use that relationship that Christ has with God the Father as an example of how we should treat our parents. Sorry, I kind of coughed there and talked at the same time. That did not feel good. What was that, Jason? but also honoring your father and mother is how we respond to the promise that God has given us. Both in the Old Testament and here in Ephesians, it's clear that when you're honoring your parents, you get to live in God's promise. And like I said, as we've been going through the book of Ephesians, that is clear as well. This is our response to God's promise. So let us respond to God's promise by showing the love and respect and the care and honor that our parents deserve, because they do deserve it. They were placed as an authority in our lives by God. And even if they don't deserve it, let us show them the honor and respect that they deserve. Now we're going to be moving on to the parents, and I'm sure all the children are happy about that. We're going to be moving on to the parents' part of this relationship. And parents, you are to raise your children up in the Lord. It says here in Ephesians, it says in the verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and instruction of the Lord. And now it says, don't exasperate your children. And the reason that Paul put this, sorry, my glasses are falling apart, guys. We played soccer this week with the youth, and the youth landed on them and broke them. So I'm using duct tape to hold them together to the best of my ability right now, but they are coming off. But we are not to exasperate our children. In the Greco-Roman world, fathers had complete control of their households, so much so that when their child was born, it was placed before them as an infant. And they had the option of either picking up that child, and if they did that, they would raise that child as their own. But if they also had the option of walking away. And if they walked away, that children would be cast out to be on their own, and they would not have any parents. Fathers had complete control of their household. They had every authority in the household. And now Paul is saying, yes, you have that authority, fathers. He specifically said fathers here. He said, but do not exasperate your children. Because exasperating your children will cause them to turn, it will cause them to have a hate and anger towards you that will not be good for your relationship. Which is actually pretty, I'm trying to find where I put that. Rather, treat them with kindness, which would be unexpected in the Greco-Roman world. This would be different in the dark world, as Paul is talking about. Paul in chapter 5 talked a lot about the dark world, and now, but we are living in the light of Christ, to shine that light in the dark world. And if fathers in the Greco-Roman world treat their kids with kindness and respect rather than authority, then that would have a huge impact on the world around them. But yeah, like I said, your authority, if you abuse your authority, it's going to cause problems in your relationship with your students. Let's look at the American Revolution, for instance. The American Revolution happened because the British Kingdom continually demanded more and more of the colony of America, and they continued demanding more and more, but yet they did less and less. And so the Americans revolted, and they decided to revolt because there is no taxation without representation. And most people believe that the American Revolution was justified in doing that. I'm not saying they aren't, obviously. I think they were. I mean, I'm proud to be an American this today, but how can we say that that is justified, but yet then not expect the same of our kids if we abuse our authority? The British Kingdom abused their authority, and the Americans revolted because of it, and that's where we're at today because of that. So how can we not expect our kids to do the same if we abuse our authority? So let's not abuse our authority, but rather let us use our authority to lead them closer to Christ and to show them what it means to be a follower of Christ. Children are going to notice what you do, how you act, how you live, how you love others, how you love them, and how you love God. They're going to notice all these things that you do. And if you reflect what it means to be a follower of Christ, if you show them what it means to be a light in the world, in the dark world, and you should be a light in God, they will notice that, and they will change their lives because of that. So parents, even if your children don't deserve it, even if they, just like with children, if your parents don't deserve it, you're supposed to honor and respect them. But parents, even if your children don't deserve it, you should continually love them and continually not abuse your authority and be slow to anger and be slow to hate, be slow to tears, be slow to sadness, because your children, even if they don't deserve it, you should earn their honor. I like a saying that Mark Twain once said. I have the quote here, I'm just going to find it real quick. Mark Twain said this: it is better to deserve honors and not have them than to have them and not deserve them. So yeah, your children might show you honor, but you need to earn that honor. You should earn that honor from your children. You should deserve that honor. So let us deserve the honor of our children. Let us show them what it means to be raised up as children of Christ. Let us be an example to them so that they can go out and they can be an example to the world. The way you treat others, the way you treat your kids are going to be noticed by them. So let us be an example that is good for them. The Bible is clear. Let God be an example of how God treats his son. Let that be an example of how we treat our kids. And I love the passage that talks about the Father. It says, John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. That is such a great love, that he has given all things into his hand. So let us reflect that love towards our kids. Let us show them that we have this great love for them so that they can have great love for others and great love and honor for you. Let us earn their honor. Even if they don't show it, let us earn their honor and their love and their respect. I love how when the Bible talks about how after Jesus honors and respects the Father, God glorifies him in return. So let us do the same with our kids. Let us show them love and compassion, and let us teach them what it means to be a follower of Christ. Because if we show them what it means, they will follow that example most times. Now, I want to conclude today with a nerdy example. I'm a pretty big nerd, if you guys get to know me. And one of the things I love, one of the nerdy things I love, is comic books. I love comic books. I used to collect comic books, actually, which was, man, that was a very nerdy time for me. But I used to collect comic books, and one of my favorite superheroes is Superman. Now, I actually almost wore a Superman shirt underneath my dress shirt today, and I was going to pop it open and say Superman, but I was like, nah, I'm not going to do that. But one of my favorite superheroes is Superman. And Superman, and one of the big points in Superman's story is he's this all-powerful alien, and he has powers. He has the power to move a planet. He has powers to move planets. He has power to move at the speed of light. And so why does he just not rule humanity? He's so much greater than humanity. Why does he just not rule them? And one of the big points is the reason he doesn't do that, the reason he is a peaceful person who instead decides to fight crime and to fight people that do wrong, the reason he does that is because he was raised by two earthly farmers who raised him to be right and raised him to love others and raised him to love the world and realize that Earth, while he is an alien, is his home. And I know that's really nerdy. I love Superman, though. But he was raised to love others. And because of how his earthly parents raised him, that's changed who he became. And it's the same when we treat in the Christian family. It is the same. How we treat our kids and how we treat others and how we live is going to reflect on our kids. So children, treat your parents with the honor and respect that they deserve because God has placed them as an authority in your life. And parents, realize that how you act and how you treat your students are going to be noticed by their students, and that it is going to change how they live. And if you live as children of the light, as Ephesians 5 talks about, if you live that way, then it will be noticed by them, and they will be changed because of it. So let us continue to live as children of the light, as Ephesians 5 says. Let us live as children of the light and show our students what that means to live as children of the light. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day where we can come and worship you. And God, I pray that we can use the words that Paul gives us in our life to change our lives, God, and let us see that how we need to treat each other and parents and children. And I pray that we will be able to do that, God, that we will be able to be formed by that, and that we will honor our parents, and that we will love our children, and we will show them what it means to be followers of Christ. God, thank you for this beautiful day to worship you, and thank you for this church that is so passionate about worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen.